Turn your Bibles tonight to James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and Proverbs chapter 15. Those two texts is where we'll start, and we will be turning and looking at a number of passages of Scripture this evening. The character trait that we're going to deal with tonight is one of the most important for the Christian life. It is, I believe, addressed in many, many messages. I believe it is addressed in many books and talked about a lot. As a matter of fact, as I was coming up from the office, I asked Pastor Derek, I said, could you look on sermon audio and find out how many messages are on sermon audio about humility? And he pulled it up and he counted the list per page and how many pages there were, and there's well over 9,000 messages. So if you want to do some further listening on the subject of humility, there is over 9,000 options just on sermon audio dealing with the subject of humility. However, even though this topic is talked about, looked at, and considered consistently, it is as though it's become a forgotten virtue in today's culture. In this world of self-promotion and everybody seeking for their 5 minutes of fame, that mentality has permeated even the churches of today. And pride and its destructive forces has begun a great work in the church. Now, even though we know pride is destructive and it destroys our joy, many people still pursue it. Humility is a healing force that brings peace and contentment, and yet we neglect it. Well, in James chapter 4, if you're there, I want you to read with me verse number 6. He says, very familiar passage of Scripture, James 4, verse number 6. Read it together with me out loud. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Now turn to Proverbs chapter 15. If you've got your fingers in that text, look at Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 33. It says here that the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Before honor is humility. I like that. It's a title right in the text. It's an alliterated outline right in the text. I mean, that's fun for me when I get to see those things. But before honor is humility. While discussing the idea of humility, Jim Berg, the one who's going to be teaching the class on Thursday nights this fall, he brought out the fact that the number one character trait that is evident in the Christian life, in the true Christ-like Christian life, is humility. He went on to talk about and explain this idea, and I want you to put your thinking caps on with me. He said, when you take a human body and you fill it with God, you fill it 100% with the presence of God, you have Jesus Christ. That is what we have when Jesus Christ came to earth. Human flesh, that was all God, filled with the presence of God. Understand, in our endeavor to be Christ-like, the more we're filled with God, the more we will be like Christ. It is plain that it is the will of God and God's plan that we should be like Christ. The longer we're saved and the more mature we are as believers, the more Christ-like we should become. It should be so that the world would see Christ in us. Again, if you fill a man 100% with the very presence of God, with the Spirit of God, the most dominant character trait that will be portrayed is humility. Yet one of the hardest things to convince anybody of is the fact that they're proud. Because as soon as you begin to broach that subject of, do you think you might be dealing with some pride? Well, who are you to tell me that I've got pride? I mean, what? Just asking. just wondering if that might be the case. You know, it just, that subject is so hard to deal with. So let's look here tonight at this idea of humility, this very important truth for the Christian life. We know that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Let's see the definition here. Humility. This thing that's so difficult to master. As soon as we feel like we're mastering it, we've lost it, right? The online definition is, it's a modest or lowly view of one's importance. Webster's 1828 dictionary says, in ethics, it is freedom from pride and arrogance. It is humbleness of mind, a modest estimation of one's own worth. In theology, it is humility that consists of lowliness of mind, a deep sense of one's unworthiness in the sight of God. So we have this humility. What is the opposite of humility? I'm going to use the word haughtiness because it's alliterated. But it's pride, right? Pride, haughtiness. Lifting oneself up is the opposite of humility. As we look at the idea of humility and developing the definition of it, let's consider and think about something that it's not. It's not weakness. It's not timidity. It's not a lack of purpose in our life. Although sometimes in the world when people think about somebody that is humble or they try and live a humble life, the world would look at them and say they have no drive. They got no purpose. They've got nothing they want to aspire to or accomplish. They're weak, but that's not humility at all. Christ was the epitome of humility. Yet nobody would say he was weak. Nobody would say he lacked purpose. He came with purpose and he had purpose. It also is not denying the gifts and the abilities which God gave you. Humility is not denying the gifts and the abilities which God gave you. That turns into a false humility. For me to come and say to you, well, listen, I'm really not very good at drywall. Now, those of you that know, I've done a lot of drywall, and I am pretty good at it, even though I don't do it every day. It's just something God gave me the ability to do. And for me to try and portray this false humility in an area where God has given me a gift, that's not humility. That's downgrading or downplaying the gifts and the abilities that God's given you. Now, we don't need to be haughty in that. I don't need to say, listen, I'm the best drywaller that you've ever met. I'm the best drywaller you've... I mean, look at that. You've never seen a drywall job that's that good. I mean, that's haughtiness. That's pride. But we don't need to try and put on airs and have this false humility and this trying to debase ourselves in areas where we are gifted, where God gave you an ability. But at the same time, this world would want us to take the ability God has given and lift ourselves up and say, oh, look at me, look what I have accomplished, look what I've done, understanding that God has given us the ability. One of the things that people need to learn how to do is take a compliment. I know we want to be humble, but we ought to be able to take a compliment from somebody and just say thank you. It means a lot. Boy, that sure encourages me. I appreciate it. It's not prideful to accept a compliment. You can say, man, praise God. I'm really thankful that you said something. I appreciate it. But being able to take that without lifting yourself up. You know, the two things you need to take with a grain of salt is compliments and criticism. Both of them. You know, lest somebody criticize you and you fall into the pits of despair, and somebody praise you and you think that you are all that in a bag of chips. You know, you just need to kind of let both of them roll off a little bit. Take them a little bit, heat it just a little bit, and say, you know what, if there's an area I need to improve, I need to improve. Praise God, he's given me a gift. But don't get too lifted up or too discouraged about either one if somebody's complimenting you or criticizing you. Humility is meekness, like the meekness of a lamb. I listened to a message this week by E.W. Tozer on the lamb. Man, was it powerful. Just talking about the lamb, about the likeness of God's people to sheep and the different characteristics that we tend to have. And it was a powerful message. But the meekness of a lamb, it is obedience. Humility is obedience. And I know on the outset that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, but it will as we develop this thought. This meek obedience, meekly following and being obedient to God, does not lead to suffering, but it leads to protection and provision. Just read Psalms 23. Meekness and being obedient to God doesn't lead to suffering. It doesn't lead to problems for us. It doesn't lead to hardship. It leads to protection and provision. Well, the stubborn old donkey is out in the storm. The sheep are in the fold, taken care of by the shepherd. It's accepting God's plan for your life. So what does this look like in our life? What is the deployment of this? What is this humility that we should have as Christians? Pride today is so prevalent. People puffed up and full of themselves. The problem is people have forgotten how they got there. They've forgotten who helped them. We become so what we feel is self-sufficient. Even if you talk to people that are successful in business today, they act as if they somehow miraculously achieved that all on their own. No department store, or let's go smaller, let's say a little sandwich shop, would be anything without the customers that come in there each day and buy the food. They, yes, God's given you some ability, but it's God's blessing that helped you get there. And many times, a lot of other people's investment and help and care that helped you get there as well. So what is the conduct of the humble? The humble will submit. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 5 and 6, this is a familiar passage of Scripture again, but he says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility." Look at how that the idea of being clothed with humility is tied with the idea of being subject to one to another, of submitting to one to another. This goes exactly against culture today. But submitting to one another is literally tied to being clothed with humility, having that spirit and the atmosphere of humility about you is tied to being subject one to another. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Verse number 6 says, "Humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." We need to submit to the authorities that are in our life. It's the prideful child who stands up against his mom or dad. He's forgotten all that dad has done for him and mom has provided for him or her. Forgotten all the times that mom cared for them while they were sick and in bed and nursed them back to health. The thousands and thousands of meals that were paid for and given to them. All of the instruction that was taught them and that they learned how to use and how to do, boys. Now's not the time to be talking. They've forgotten all of the instruction that was given to them, and they rise up in pride against their parents. Right? They know everything. They know it all, and they're not going to be told. They don't want to be subject to the authority that's in their life. To put yourself under somebody is humiliating. It's humbling. It's like, what? Man, it's an exercise in humility to say, this is what I need to do, and to be subject one to another, to the authorities God's put in our life. The powers that are ordained of God, to reject them is to reject the authorities God put in our lives. We need to be subject to all men in the spirit of humility. This says one to another. This goes into our families even with husbands and wives. Now, I know husbands, biblically, you're the head of the home. But the idea of being subject one to another is that you consider your wife. You say, you don't say, we're going to eat dinner at 6 o'clock today. You say, hey, I'm going to be getting home around 6 o'clock today. Whatever you've got going, are you able to, can we eat at 6? And she says, it's going to be really hard. I would like to do it by then, but 7 would be easier. And yeah, you're the authority, but you say, you know what? 7 will work. Let's do 7. Yes, you did just submit to what would work for her. But that's the idea of humility, being submitting one to another. You know, kids, when you're out on a playground, getting along with one another. The idea, a prideful kid doesn't want to play anybody else's game. They want to play their game. And if kids aren't going to play their game, they're going to take their ball and go home. Or they're going to go sit in a corner and pout. By the way, if somebody wants to go sit in a corner and pout, then let them. They've got a bad attitude. They're full of pride. Humility, be subject one to another. They say, hey, what do you guys want to play? Okay, let's play it and have a good time doing it. Maybe it's not your favorite game. Maybe it's not what you would have picked. But the idea of being subject one to another, submitting one to another, is saying, hey, what do you guys think? Let's do that. And sometimes it may go your way and you'll get to pick the game. And sometimes it'll go the other way and somebody else picks the game. But having the right spirit is you play regardless of what game gets picked. Be living subject one to another. That's what humility is. Haughty people will always lift themselves up. Haughtiness literally means to be tall, to lift oneself up above another. Haughty. Lift ourselves up above other people. And a haughty person will reject the authorities that are in their life. Proverbs 18, verse number 12, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. To this man, destruction is sure. Destruction. That word destruction there in Proverbs 18:12 actually means to break or to bruise. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. What God is saying, if you're haughty, he's going to break you. He's going to bruise you. He's going to do what's necessary for you to realize you're not all that in a bag of chips. God says here he would break or bruise the haughty, because honor is humility. Christ was the personification of humility. This is powerful. When you think about the idea of humility being obedience, and Jesus Christ being the personification of humility, think about this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. Humility is obedience. Jesus Christ became obedient, even unto death. Obedience. Humility will serve others. Not only is humility submission, humility is service. We will serve others. Acts 20, verse number 19 says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Serving the Lord, serving others. It takes a humble man to be a servant, to just serve others. Instead of expecting others to always wait on you. Mom, this is one reason you shouldn't be always waiting on your kids. You ought to be telling your kids to get up and get it. You ought to be telling your kids to wait on you. The kids need to learn to serve. And if all they've ever had is mom just waiting on them, picking up after them, serving them, they'll go into life with the wrong mentality and think that's how it's supposed to be. I know you love them and you want to do for them. That's the heart of a mom. Mom wants to do for them. But they need to be taught to be servants as well and to serve others. 140 years ago, C.H. Spurgeon, as a young man, spake and he said, the first qualification for serving God with any amount of success and for doing God's work well and triumphantly is a sense of our own weakness. C.H. Spurgeon, who at the age of 18, the auditoriums couldn't hold the crowds that would come to hear him speak. He says, to do anything great for God, the first thing you've got to be real familiar with is how ungreat you are. How weak you are. You know, what do you get when you're humble? It's amazing the benefits you get. First of all, God's going to give you grace. God's going to give you grace. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. God's going to give you grace to endure, grace to be able to be humble, grace to be able to succeed at something, grace. There's so many levels of grace in the Christian life, and we don't have time to teach on that tonight, but Matthew 5, verse number 3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. God's going to bless you. We know the word blessed means happy. Blessed are those that are humble, that are poor in spirit, that have that humility in their life. God will exalt you. He'll give you honor. He will lift you up. You understand what the haughty spends his time seeking? God graciously gives without reservation to the humble. The haughty goes after it. Boy, I want to be known. I want everybody to see me. I want everybody to see how good I do. Listen, here's another thing, parents. You got to be careful with watching your kids. In the stuff when it's just about them and it's all the attention that they want, especially these got like Titus age, these kids get where they're, watch me, and they want everybody to watch them do something. You got to be careful because we're teaching that spirit in them, and got to realize it's not all about them. Other people are there, other kids are there, other adults are there, but what the haughty seeks, God gives freely. Psalms 138, verse number 6 says, though the Lord be high, yet he hath respect unto the lonely. God respects the lowly. Though God is high and lifted up. That's amazing, because when we get high, We don't have respect for the lowly, do we? But oh, God is high and lifted up, and he has respect unto the lowly. But that same verse goes on and it says, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Those that are proud, you're a long ways from God. Hudson Taylor, that pioneering missionary, said, all God's giants have been weak men who did great things for a God. Weak men who did great things for God. How do you develop this in your life? We'll go quickly through this. How do you develop this in your life? Develop humility. Remember the example Jesus Christ set? He was obedient. He set the standard high, being humble in our lives from day to day. God had it all, yet he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Exalt Jesus Christ on a regular basis, and it will humble you. When we get a true picture of who God is, we realize who we are. And if we make a consistent habit of exalting and praising God and considering God, it will humble us. We need to remember where we came from. From dirt. And one day we're going to go back to it. Oh, that familiar song by Isaac Watts. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Having a real conscious understanding of where we are and where we came from. Be willing to do the following. I'm going to give you some things that humble people do. I'm saying exercise these things. We've got to look at them in our life and say, listen, am I this way? Do I do this? When the opportunity comes up, do it. Be willing to do the following if you want to develop humility in your life. Accept blame instead of justifying your action. The proud man won't accept any blame, even if it's his fault. So-and-so, if that wouldn't have been, just accept blame. Okay. Jesus Christ was pure. They found no fault in him, but when they accused him, the scripture says he answered not a word. That's humility. That's hard, especially when you think you're justified in whatever. That's an exercise in humility. You want to develop humility in your life? Say I was wrong. Please forgive me. Say I was wrong. When anything comes up, just be willing to say I was wrong. That's an exercise in humility. Allow others to receive praise with joy. Are you happy when others are praised? When others are given credit? You know, people come and say, who did all this stuff for Vacation Bible School? Who came up with all these ideas? How did this happen? There's a lot of people involved in that. What if somebody says, oh, Pastor Derek did it all? You say, wait, what about my part? Are you happy when other people get praised? Well, I did this and this. Or can you just, it's an exercise in humility. Just allow other people to get praised. Be content with your lot in life, what God has given you. It's an exercise in humility. We know, of course, we've already said it, to be obedient to the authorities that are in your life. That's an exercise in humility. Live in subjection one to another. Make yourself available to others. The proud person is never available. He has his own agenda. He's got his own plans. He's got all that he wants to do, and he's not available. But living in subjection to one another is making yourself available to others. Praise others often. Praise others often. That'll help you be humble when you're lifting others up. You see, this world feels like when they tear other people down, it makes them look better and they lift themselves up. It does the opposite. Control and hold your critical tongue. when somebody messes up something or something's not quite right, or you could have done it better, that's an exercise in humility, to not say anything, just hold your critical tongue. Remember that only shame comes from pride. Proverbs 11, verse number 2 says, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom." How can we get puffed up in pride? It would be like a picture that was painted by one of the greats. The picture itself saying, "Wow, look what I did. Look at how magnificent I am." When every brushstroke was a stroke of the master's hand. And for you and I to get puffed up when everything we are and can do is because of the master's hand. It is literally the creation of the master lifting itself up in the presence of the creator. We've got to keep a correct perspective. Tonight, let's say, as the psalmist said in Psalms 131, verses 1 through 3. It's a short psalm. That's the whole thing. It's just three verses. But he says, "My heart is not haughty, mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things that are too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forevermore." Realizing that everything we are is because of God and keeping that in perspective. Just saying, hey, I'm not going to lift myself up above what God would see to do. Spurgeon said about that psalm, "This is the shortest psalm to read, but the longest to learn." The shortest to read, but the longest to learn. Humility, that character trait, that is or would be the most prominent character trait in the heart of the Christian who is completely yielded to Jesus Christ. How humble are you tonight?